Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And last month in New Delhi, a 23-year-old woman was lured onto a private bus where she was brutally beaten and repeatedly raped. She has since died from organ failure. As you probably heard, this has been such a big international news story. And authorities have charged her six attackers. But public protests in India against gender violence and sexual assault have stayed strong. Ilora Halim Chaudhary is with us. She's an associate professor of women's studies at the University of Massachusetts at Boston and author of Transnationalism Reversed, Women Organizing Against Gendered Violence in Bangladesh. And she's here now to talk about this case in the context of Indian culture. Ilora, welcome to WNYC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And in a city with an average of 600 reported rape cases each year, why has this particular incident provoked such a reaction?
That's a complicated question. I think that there are many reasons that why this case has led to such mass protests. One of the things that has happened following this case is that we have been exposed to almost routine ways that women face insecurity on the street. So, for instance, there have been reports about the bus that the woman and her friend boarded, and how that was a private bus that was actually not even supposed to be on the roads, and how it went around police checkposts at least twice, and that the police actually had records of this bus, and that officers were known to have taken bribes to allow such buses that go rogue after hours and sort of carry on the roads. And in many other cases, other issues have come up. So, for instance, that when the young woman and her friend were tortured and thrown off the bus, that passersby went by without offering to help, that apparently the police came quite late and were involved in some kind of argument over jurisdiction instead of responding more helpfully to the situation. So in the routine ways in which that women, and particularly average citizens of India, face insecurity on the streets is one thing that has been exposed in quite detailed way. We also have been hearing about how this particular case is creating so much outrage and public scrutiny and exposure because it is something that, because it happened in New Delhi, in the capital city, that it somehow a lot of people could really identify to these two young people who boarded the bus after just watching a film and were just wanting to return home, and that that a lot of people could relate to this sort of mundane activity and how that led to such a horrific tragedy. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it has also brought to the fore that how while violence against women is so pervasive, that other acts of violence, particularly perpetrated by more powerful segments of society, people with economic and political clout, for instance, are not exposed in the same way, or victims of such violence do not elicit such widespread
outrage.
Empathy.
And I want to follow up on that in just a second. I also want to invite listeners, if you've lived in India and want to speak to the gender dynamics there today, please call us up at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And let's take a phone call right now. I think we have Maripati in Plainsboro on the line. Maripati, thank you for calling in.
Yeah. I mean, to add to what the other person was saying, that the politicians have, over the last few decades, figured out that in order for them to be safe while they are corrupt, while they, you know, appropriate, misappropriate resources or do land grabbing or whatever else that they do to collect their money, they need a very pliant and ineffective police force. They need a completely dysfunctional prosecutorial system and judicial system so that they are not caught. Or even if they are caught, the cases drag on for 20 years through which they can, you know, intimidate the witnesses and witnesses, you know, become hostile. That's a common thing that happens in all these cases where after the prosecutors line up the witnesses, suddenly the witnesses just turn and speak the other way in the court saying, that. And that happens regularly in India, and that scheme is by design. It is not by accident or by lack of funding or money or anything like that. So
that's very troubling. Madhupati, I'm going to leave it there for time. But Professor Chaudhary, he makes a serious charge, which is that government officials, in order to maintain their corruption, purposely create a weak justice system. And that relates to a very serious charge that you've made in writing, which if I understand you correctly, is that the state itself uses rape as a domination tactic against marginalized communities and people from lower castes, for example. So are you really alleging state-sponsored rape? And also, how do you react to that caller?
I talked about state-sanctioned violence in conflict areas in India, such as Kashmir and Northeast and Central India, where rape, sexual violence is used as a weapon of domination against marginalized populations, that it is used as a weapon of intimidation. That what we also need to look at are that there are sanctions in place that actually allow the military to act violently without having to be held accountable. At the same time, there are several rape cases pending against politicians that also, because of the political and financial clout, are not being prosecuted in the sense that, you know, we are probably going to see a speedy trial in this particular case because of all the widespread protests. Mm-hmm. But that certainly, and that brings in itself a host of other issues, such as having enough police officers and law enforcement agents out there to actually deal with the volume of work that speedy trials would likely create. But I think associated with that is the whole question of mindset. So I think what the other caller was also alluding to, that we have, even in response to this particular case, and certainly even before, we've had politicians saying things like that women should not be out late at night, that women who have been victimized were too adventurous to be out in the public space at night. There was a report by a local news magazine that caught senior police officers talking about victims of sexual violence as somehow having brought it upon themselves, and there wasn't really anything done about that. So I want to point to that not only state-sponsored, state-sanctioned violence, but also this overall culture of fear and stigmatization and victim blaming.
Melita, let me get one more caller in here. Melita in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi there, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
I've been extremely, obviously, agitated about what's been going on in India. And I was there as an undergraduate student in the late 70s and early 80s at Delhi University. And we had to use our public transport. And we were constantly poured in the Indian buses constantly. We actually carried safety pins to protect ourselves. And to me, it's amazing and astonishing that this continues 32 years later. We protested then. We organized a massive march against Eve teasing. It was called Eve teasing because nobody dared use the word rape or sexual harassment. And we would march to Parliament, a whole bunch of us, and men would just stand by and laugh in our faces. Because here we were, you know, jean-clad and so-called westernized, and they would just laugh at us. And a friend of mine actually threw herself off a running bus, a speeding bus in 1980, because she was attacked by 13 men at the back, including the ticket collector.
Horrible.
And it was a miracle that she was alive, because there happened to be no other bus behind the speeding bus.
Horrible. Melita, we're almost out of time, and Professor Chaudhry, very briefly, what do you think could change this if it's been this bad since the 1980s, when supposedly a lot of progress should have been made? Melita, very briefly? Okay, Professor Chaudhry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, you asked me what...
What could change this, especially...
Well, I think, you know, there has been a lot of women's groups have come together and put comprehensive statements to the government to bring about changes not only in legislation, but also in education, in curriculum, in messages that are transmitted in the media, in the film industry, in our social spaces, that could really look into what kinds of images about femininity and masculinity we are putting out there that perhaps contribute to creating this sort of culture of misogyny.
And there we have to leave it with Professor Ilora Chaudhry, Women's Studies professor from the University of Massachusetts at Boston, and author of, forgive me, I'll have to get back up with that book title, but thank you very much.
Thank you.